If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So, Audrey, last week I promised we were coming back to the Energy Innovation Center, hanging out with People's Gas to make this show happen, where we're looking at the intersections of technology and energy at the Energy Innovation Center in the Covestro Bright Room.
I know, sometimes it's hard to let them out.
I'm just saying, I get excited. When I leave the
sometimes
cube, I get very excited.
It's just so hard to let them out.
No, we don't love hanging out and doing these types of things.
We do.
It's such a fun time.
Here.
I do too.
And so who do we have in the house today?
Yeah.
Jeff Nair with People's Gas.
Jeff, no stranger to Tech Vibe Radio.
That's right.
Yeah.
We did it a couple of months ago.
We had you on the show. So what's new?
Yeah. People's is still pursuing combined heat and power systems, helping customers.
CHP.
CHP.
That's right.
Helping customers save money, but also helping the environment and helping resiliency so they stay up when the power's out.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that a little bit?
Give us a reset so our listeners can know what
absolutely.
Is CHP?
The building here that we're sitting in has two microturbines in the basement.
Yeah.
And what CHP is basically you're taking electricity and also generating heat at the same time.
Okay.
So the heat off the microturbines are heating this building, the electricity is powering the building, and actually in this building it's CCHP because they have absorption chillers and they're cooling the building as well.
Get the extra C for that.
So what does it stand for, in case our listeners don't know what that means?
Cooling, combined cooling, heat, and power, CCHP.
Okay.
You pass the test.
We are just trying to be cool.
Yeah,
you are.
Exactly.
I'm down.
I'm down with it. Are you down with it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, okay. But this is a fantastic space, and they do a great job with energy, making it efficient, making it something that Pittsburgh can be proud of.
It's a showcase to show how it can really work and how it does work in the real world.
So we will see that in the marketplace, right?
Yes, and I would consider this place an early adopter because they're already doing it. And so taking people to the show, you know, half the battle is first adopters have a hard time getting over the wall to actually implement. Here they've actually implemented, so we can show them somebody's using it today and they're successful doing it.
Well, we're in an exciting time here.
Absolutely. Price of natural gas can't be any lower than it's been. A lot of stability in the energy market as far as pricing.
Tons of it right under our feet.
Tons of it under our feet. And, you know, folks want to improve the environment, improve efficiency. This building's LEED Platinum building, and basically it's the best showcase you have for this type of technology.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, last week we were talking to your boss, Morgan O'Brien. He was on the show. And we were so pumped the way he wants to embrace innovation. He wants to embrace change, embrace technology, and just to stare it head on and welcome it. And this is proof of it. This type of a project is you know, you're not just a traditional gas company. We're just going to sell you gas.
Absolutely.
It's going all the way around like this. I think that's so cool.
Absolutely. And when you look at the gas company, you could sit and wait for somebody to build a steel mill or a power plant or, you know, for a residential lot plan to be developed. Or you go out to the marketplace, you talk to your existing customers and find out how they can use more of your product.
Exactly.
So that's what makes us excited is introducing the cross-section of technology and the traditional gas utility, serving the customers with natural gas. Promoting technology actually promotes using more of our product, but also promotes savings for our customers.
And
so what do you think people who are like not part of your business world, what do you think they really need to know? And they might just not even understand.
I think what they need to know is that the technology is existing. It's been around for a long period of time. Just look at Duquesne University, who's been doing the same thing we're talking about in this building for over 20 years.
Oh, really? So
absolutely.
They're going 20 years back.
What are they doing there?
Wow.
They have a combined cooling, heat, and power system. It's a turbine, but it's of a larger scale than what's in this building. It's actually 5 megawatts. Duquesne University provides all their heat for campus from this generator and 70% of their electricity.
That's impressive.
It's impressive because they did it 20 years ago.
And they did it 20 years ago before all the cool kids were doing it, right?
Before the price of the gas dropped to the bottom where it is today. And I asked the folks at Duquesne, I said, you know, you've kind of built out the campus, you have redundancy, you could go away from CHP at any time. Would you choose to do so? And they said, we appreciate where we're at. We appreciate the value that it brings to our campus, and we consider it a value to have that on our property and continue to use it. So it's exciting stuff.
Oh, without a doubt.
But being the leading edge there, you know, Duquesne University, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, IUP has a cogeneration plant, and you see a lot of universities coming down that path, wanting to do that.
I love it. That's why we love doing the show, to be able to put the spotlight
on.
I
didn't even know that about Duquesne University, so thank you for sharing that. Are there any other stories you think people need to know about?
It's really around the savings and around the environmental impact. And the environmental impact is you have one combustion process, meaning your engine is being driven once, firing once. So instead of having a boiler and then some remote power plant working on coal or gas or oil, now you combine it into one. So you have one emission source versus two, lower emissions, better for the environment.
All the way around, so cool. And that's why we're excited to be able to spread this message, work, partner with People's Gas. If you go to peoples-gas.com, you can learn all about it.
Terrific.
Because I just love it. I think it's so great. And to be here at the Energy Innovation Center, where it's being showcased, this is why Pittsburgh is moving ahead these days. People
Absolutely.
Are paying attention, and it needs companies like People's Gas.
Thank you, Jeff.
To make that move forward, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
I think it's so, so cool. So, Audrey, we have a great show in front of us today. You know, as we're here, we get to stretch out, nerd out, talk to all these great companies.
Yeah, trying to do a little bit of a deeper dive into what's happening in the energy sector.
Exactly.
Appreciate that.
On today's show, we're going to be talking to Watt Energy. They got some great stuff that's happening on. We also have Latham Street Collins. They have a neat project they're working on with People's Gas with, which is going to be a lot of fun. And I tell you what, man, it's too much fun. I love being here.
I do too.
You know, lately everyone's been talking about the whole Amazon bid and all that type of good stuff, and that's all fine and dandy. And I think that when Amazon was looking around for the top 20, they see facilities like this. They see the collaborations that are going on with things like People's Gas and with the innovation economy around here.
That's right.
I think that's something that's kind of playing into making Pittsburgh.
Well, I should. I mean, when you think of any new company that would come into town, would
right.
be a big consumer of energy. And so I think it would be pretty important that we showcase the diversity of our energy here.
Absolutely.
And the kinds of things that we're actually literally and figuratively sitting on. And, you know, I think what we hear from the leadership of People's Gas is the time is now.
Exactly.
So
that's what, I'm going to stab myself with a pen here. There could be a physical injury in Tech 5. I was pointing to Jeff. I was going to say, as Morgan said, there's like a 5-year window for some of these things to happen to really make it go on. So
sure.
Work harder, work faster.
We are. We're excited about the future, and we're excited about the folks that you'll be talking to and learning more about this.
Absolutely, man.
Absolutely.
We think it's so cool all the way around. And to remind everyone, the Pittsburgh Technology Council, 35 years doing what it has been doing. And it was great. We had the original CEO, Tim Park, stop by our offices just this past week to kind of give a little bit of a history lesson. And we learned some things are exactly the same
and
35 years later, and some things are drastically different.
To be able to take that vision and continue to drive
right.
it.
So we're proud.
We're not finished.
Exactly. And we're proud to have 35 more years of working with this. And we think it's a great. And remind everybody, if you want to get all the tech news, you want Tech Vibe Radio podcast, you want to learn more about, you know, how companies are working with People's Gas, go to pghtechfuse.com. It's our new media hub. We've got podcasts. We have articles. We have features. You name it, we got it there. And it's new, fresh content every single day. So anyhow, we're taking a quick break. We are coming right back, I swear, with more Tech Vibe on our neighborhood tour at the Energy Innovation Center with People's Gas. Learn more about us at pghtech.org, People's Gas, peoples-gas.com. Welcome back. So glad you can join us tonight, Friday night, Tech Vibe Radio here. The neighborhood tour, hanging out with People's Gas, peoples-gas.com. This is Jonathan Kersning.
Yeah, and this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, I'll tell you what, I love it. We get to leave the confines in the studio, stretch out the Energy Innovation Center.
We are. It's so cool.
In the Covestro Bright Room, talking to some great people doing cool stuff at the intersection of technology and energy. And we have one such guy right here. We have Will Allen with us. Will, thanks for stopping by and hanging out with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
And you are from NGH Energy.
Well, yeah, that is a portfolio company that I've invested in.
Okay.
From Nason Group Holdings. So NGH Energy
gotcha.
is mainly an engineering firm, but has a capacity to implement technologies, smart technologies, and the built environment. So it's a great company. Very new, very young, but we're looking to make some strides. So I'm more of a strategic partner.
Okay.
But there's a good story to you. So let's get the whole story.
Yeah, I want the whole Will. I want the whole Will Allen story.
Okay. Will Allen story. Because you didn't really just all of a sudden one day wake up.
No, I was asleep. I was asleep for a long time.
You were asleep. You were like, what is that called? Rumpelstiltskin?
Something like that. Yeah.
Or a bear hibernating.
A bear hibernating.
I can go with that. Very, very relatable.
There you go.
Yeah. Come athletic background, played for the Steelers for 6 seasons, 12 seasons total in the NFL. And I was always had an interest in the energy sector and, and what technologies were available. That I could invest in the energy sector. And I just really didn't know. Was very green. Was just fascinated about what the business of energy could bring.
Okay.
Cool. I went on a few internships while I was still playing.
Which is cool.
Yeah,
I really did like that. That was the one thing that I liked. And this is no generalization against anyone that plays sports, but sometimes it's just not part of your trajectory to be a part of trying outside of your world. Am I saying that correctly?
You are. And sports is very insulated. It's a bubble.
Right.
But it's a great bubble. You make good money. You make a lot of people happy.
Yeah,
and
right.
Enjoy it. But you don't get to experience the real world.
Right.
And it's also very finite because careers can be very short and lots of life to live afterwards. And so being able to do what you're doing now is so cool.
Internship.
Yeah.
And makes himself.
That is kind of crazy. You're like a Pittsburgh Steeler,
The NFL does offer that, but the likelihood of people taking advantage of it has not been that high.
Yeah, there's 1,400, I believe 1,400 NFL players, and each of our cohorts through the NFLPA only had about 20 to 30 like players actually participate.
Those numbers aren't very good.
So it was great to, partake in it. I had a great experience working on Capitol Hill and the Energy and Power Committee.
Nice.
And then working for a utility, National Grid in Boston. So it was great. It was a great experience. And from there, my mind just the light bulb went off.
Exactly.
What else can I do? I'm a smart guy. I have a decent network. How can I really activate what I've learned? And over the years, I've just been, just kept scratching the surface, kept scratching more, and doing some more education and continue education and putting myself around intelligent, smart people and people who have the expertise. Because I don't have the answer, right? I don't claim to have
the answer.
I just want to be around smart people.
Nothing wrong with that.
And we can build together and grow together and do fantastic work.
And so where do you see some of the real opportunities, like in technology and...
Well, in the energy space, I think it's maximizing the opportunity of renewables and alternatives and creating kind of this smart solution that I don't think is novel, but that we've already kind of tapped into, making solar panels last longer or making their shelf life and ROI more efficiencies in the business. And we talked about, people's gas and CHP technology. I think combined heat and power is a tremendous technology in the energy space.
Absolutely.
Because you can, it's very versatile. People's like, it comes from fracking or it comes from this, but no, you can pull gas, biogas.
Right. We had Montauk Energy on the show that works with Peoples a few months ago, and they're capturing gas from landfills and putting it into the grid.
Yeah.
I
think that's awesome. And the cool part about CHP is that you can do waste recovery. So all the energy that's wasted can go right back into the system and be reliable for whatever sector that's providing energy. So I think that's a great technology. And I think finding a combination of how all the technologies flow together is the really missing piece.
So it's not
like
one silver bullet.
Like the enterprise solutions that we see in technology everywhere else.
Yeah.
We don't have the integration.
No.
So what are you seeing when you're out there?
We're so what I'm seeing is a lot of competing interest. You know, a lot of competing interest.
Gotcha,
right,
gotcha.
A good point.
And a lot of, for lack of better words, municipalities and institutions that really don't know. It's not their business to, you know, learn how to integrate systems, energy systems and technologies. It's very new. It's very new. Technologies are...
You wouldn't think it is, though.
But, you know, you wouldn't.
Right? I mean, because some of this technology, quote unquote, in energy is old.
It is. It is. But as I think as new technologies are starting to, you know, become more prevalent, you know, you're used to what you're doing. Like, so if you're an academic, you're focused on research and building academia. So when, you know, power systems go down, you're the one to blame when it's not really your responsibility, but you're held accountable. So why not rely on, you know, let's talk about data integration, data infrastructure, storage of data, and the action items that are associated with that. Then you talk about HVAC, IoT, and lighting technologies. Then you talk about energy source.
That's where the opportunity is.
Yeah.
That's the
all
thing
these
that
things
gets me
come
jazzed.
Together.
So there's a lot there to uncover, but they all, to me, are somewhat associated with each other because they all incorporate.
Right, but very often people are just working on siloed solutions.
Exactly.
So what's your, so an NGH Energy, is it an investment company? Is it an advisor?
I'm an advisor.
Right.
You know, I'm strategic. But, you know, it is to find solutions to break those silos, right?
Okay.
To make the systems work more collaboratively and succinctly.
Okay.
So that's kind of our goal. We create partnerships in those spaces because we don't claim to know everything, you know. So we have to build partnerships and excel and
Pittsburgh's
and
a good town to be in for this.
So
because,
is there a website that people can?
Yeah,
go on?
I mean, you can go to NasonGroupHoldings.com or NGHEnergy.com.
Okay.
And then you'll learn more and discover more, and you know, and hopefully we can find some way to collaborate and work.
We're going to keep our eye on you. You're not a native Pittsburgher, right?
I am.
You are?
You are.
No, I'm not. I thought you said, am I living? No.
Yeah.
I'm a native Ohioan.
Okay.
That's what
I
thought.
I'm from Dayton, Ohio.
But Pittsburgh is your home now.
I went to The Ohio State University.
That's what I thought.
The Ohio
State. I caught you there.
But Pittsburgh is my home now.
Absolutely.
We're glad to have you here.
We're really
glad to be
here. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for taking the time with us. Really appreciate it. We'll be watching you.
It's awesome.
Appreciate it. And I think it's time for us, JK.
Yeah, we got to wind things up and get on to our next segment. It goes by too fast. Anyway, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back, I swear. Lots of Tech Vibe Radio coming your way. So happy to be partnering with Peoples Gas here at the Energy Innovation Center. An honor to talk to great guys like Will who are making Pittsburgh a better place, man. Making Pittsburgh pop, man.
Thanks,
that's what it's
it.
All about.
Just trying to do my part, that's all.
We dig it. So learn more about the Tech Council, pghtech.org. We'll be right back after this quick break. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kersting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
And Audrey, you know how much I love it when we take the mobile field unit and set it up in a location in a neighborhood and talk to the people that are making things happen. And we're doing that with Peoples Gas at the Energy Innovation Center.
Mm-hmm.
Having a good time. I love it.
It's great. So we have two people here that are going to talk about some pretty amazing things that they're doing one step at a time.
Exactly.
And I'm excited to hear about this and do a little bit of a dive. So please introduce yourself and tell who you are and what you're up to.
Hi, I'm Mary Lou R. Scott. I'm an architect from England. I've been living in Pittsburgh for 10 years, teaching at CMU in the architecture school.
Wonderful. Welcome.
My name's Kristen Hughes. I've been living in Pittsburgh for about 17 years, and I am faculty at Carnegie Mellon School of Design, but also the co-director of our project, Latham Street Commons.
Latham Street Commons. So tell us about Latham Street Commons. What is this thing?
So Latham Street Commons is a crazy vision and dream that we have to really think about changing a community one small step at a time. It's a set of vacant storage garages, and we've been really trying to look at ways that we can improve the health of both individuals and community members kind of all at one time. So we have an idea for a workforce development program where we start to teach kids about life through baking bread. And a lot of it is teaching them a little bit about self-care, mindfulness, and ways that they begin to really think and make connections with the community around them.
All around making bread.
People around them. That's all around making bread.
That's awesome.
Also,
pumpernickel?
Maybe, and alternative ways of growing things and learning how to care for one another.
That's awesome. Very, very cool.
So it's a complicated project because we are looking at a very dilapidated building. This is something that's true all over Pittsburgh, that there are relics of a former era.
This is in Garfield, right?
Yeah. There's a Backlands. It's 27 empty garages, which are pretty fragile.
27?
So
wow.
Think of all the different uses that you might be able to put a small garage
right.
to, with an eye on innovation. And we are taking the first 10 garages and putting the new kitchen into that space and thinking from the bottom up about how we service something which is a bakery and a teaching space. So we've had wonderful conversations with People's Gas about what's the most efficient way of using energy.
Right.
And we're connecting the use of energy for heating and cooling and running ovens.
I sense there'll be a fuel cell in your future, right?
Well, it's combined heat and power. So
CHP, just yet.
CHP absolutely. Is being miniaturized. And it, of course, in Europe, it's been used in big districts.
Okay.
For instance, in Denmark, it's the most common form of public housing heating. You join buildings together and you collect the heat and the cooling and make an energy efficient story.
Huh.
But we're planning to do it in the tiniest scale. So we're looking at using the water from the roof to grow our plants through a hydroponic system, and we're using the CO2 from our CHP system to be able to promote the growth of our salad greens and all around vegetable growing. So it's somehow joining the bread and what goes in the sandwich. We're making the
full meal happening here. You're making me hungry now. Very hungry for
so
grilled
how
cheese.
How did the two of you get together to try to spark this?
And where did you find this place? To say we want to actually
where did
do
you
this.
Say there were 27 garages.
Yeah. I have an idea. Let's put a bakery there.
Well, it had a flat roof.
Okay.
That's the thing that gave us the biggest
idea. It had a flat roof. Yeah.
And we thought, this is a hot spot. This is a great place to grow vegetables. And we, for one summer, we clambered up a ladder and grew vegetables, a lot of them.
Oh, really?
As a test.
Nice.
Yes.
So what did you grow?
Just about everything.
Everything
with a different name. Aubergines, courgettes, things that are...
Okay. How about tomatoes?
A lot of tomatoes. We had a ton of tomatoes, tomatales.
You can have a sauce factory there if you wanted to.
So, as we're talking to you, is there a website or anything?
There is. It's LathamStreetCommons.org, and street is abbreviated. And I think, you know, one of the wonderful things is really a lot of people say, you know, why don't you pick this up and move it to other communities? And a lot of what we've been doing is really trying to understand a place and the history of a place and the stories of the people and how the stories of the people really impact the design of a space and the types of services and needs that you provide to people. And we've been, you know, this kind of slow design. So for 2 years, we've really been trying to figure out how to make people feel very included in the process.
So it's almost like the opposite of the world that I live in.
It is totally opposite of the world you live in.
Like I'm slowing down as I'm listening to you.
Exactly.
And it's helping me.
Oh my goodness.
It feels therapeutic, right?
Yeah.
Because Jonathan and I, we live in a world where it's like within one day.
Yeah.
Things get changed in one day. We talk about like there are companies that are going to be billion-dollar companies. We don't even know the names of them now.
Right.
And they're going to be alive and thriving in 3 years. And now I'm listening to you where you're going back and you're connecting.
And we also want to connect through generations so that the people involved are both the children who grow up with the project and the elders of those families who come and take part.
So how are you capturing the stories?
In very creative ways.
Yeah.
We ran a pilot last summer where we did sort of a test project called Mile a Minute Films. So we worked with our population. We're going to be working with 16 to 22-year-olds and really took them through a journey very similar to what we described for our program and had them retell the story through films. So
very cool.
You know, and it just kind of, again, like really using creativity to help capture the kind of flavor of the place. So we bring a lot of our kind of arts background into everything that we do. And then partnering with people like People's Gas, PWSA, and scientists and teachers. You know, they kind of keep us really grounded, and they're like, you know, off and
that's really fun. That's horrifying.
You know, we got to do have to learn some things as we go on.
We are all learning.
We're all learning. I mean, it's a community of learners.
What has surprised the both of you?
How hard it is. How hard the project is to kind of get off the ground.
Yeah. And,
how tiny it is and how hard it is.
For something that's supposed to be so small in this micro thing, but no, it actually has such an impact and must be so difficult to get all the ends together to put them there.
Well, and I think that's the beauty of, you know, this relationship with People's and some of the work that we've been doing with PWSA is that you have these large corporations that are really far above the curve of some of this new technology, and being able to sit down at a table with experts, I mean, we do truly become kind of a community of learners, and to then take that knowledge and use what, you know, we do in our everyday life, and figure out how to reteach that information back to the community. And it becomes a really interesting model that I think we can all learn from.
And we need to slow down.
We need to slow down, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what's fascinating is that you realize...
She's going to start saying that.
She said slowly.
Tried it a few times.
Yes, well, one of the aspects of slowing down is not doing the first thing that occurs to you. So thinking more deeply about every step, which I think is what we have learned. We've had many sort of rushes at it.
Right.
And the people who've been involved with us on the board, in the community, they've contributed so much. The trainees who have worked with us last summer, each time we have an engagement of envisaging it, we gain a new piece of intelligence.
And so we should be telling people to contribute, right?
Yes.
We would love that.
Yeah, where can they?
People want to contribute, right? They go to your website?
They can go to our website. You know, we're also looking, I mean, the one beautiful thing about this is that it's been powered by human energy. So we have emptied all the lockers out. We've gotten donations. We have, really done remarkable things with very little, but have learned so much about why a project like this will work and what it takes. And so, you know, a lot of times we ask people to volunteer time. So give us your intellectual capital in place of maybe the $100 you might charge for something else. So we've been really fortunate with just the power and passion of people who get the vision of the project. Mm-hmm. We are at a place where we are looking for money to buy various pieces of kitchen equipment and hire some people to help us kind of keep it afloat.
And with Pittsburgh's, obviously, with its restaurant scene just going crazy and people really caring about eating good things that are, you know, that are raised, especially what you're doing, it just seems like you should be getting so much interest in this.
Well, kind of the beauty is it's like you're teaching kids how to bake bread, but you're also giving kids the agency to tell their story.
Yeah.
So what's wrapped around the bread is really special,
And
how do we connect with one another, because we're all so different, you know, but also similar.
So we start to
learn something very new about someone that you maybe never paid attention to.
So we got about a minute or so left. Just anything else that people should know about this? If people want to donate, they want to participate, how can they reach out to you guys and say, I want to help?
We're making many big grant applications at the same time as we're asking for small donations through the website. So I think that at any level, we could do with some resources.
Very cool.
Excellent.
And give us the website one more time so our listeners...
So it's LathamStreetCommons.org, LathamStreetCommons.org.
Very cool.
And you can read about our story and see some of the amazing people that have really had a hand at building this vision.
Exactly. I was clicking through your site, and there's lots of great stuff on there.
I think
it will inspire a lot of people.
I'm very inspired.
Thank you.
We think it's awesome.
I am very inspired.
We're so pumped that you're working with People's Gas to make this stuff happen. So all the way around, we think awesome, awesome story. Really appreciate
you. We really
appreciate
it.
Telling it with us here on Tech Vibe.
Well, we really appreciate you having us. Thank you.
Absolutely.
We enjoyed it. So we're taking a break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. I swear, we're doing it here with People's Gas.
Take a swim.
at the Energy Innovation Center. I can't go fast. I can't slow down. We're taking a break. We're going away. Bye. This is Jonathan Kirsten.
And this is Audrey Rusin.
Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Thanks for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio as we bring you the Tech Vibe Neighborhood Tour with People's Gas. Go to peoples-gas.com and learn all about them. Making the show happen from the Energy Innovation Center, the good old EIC. Audrey, we love taking the show on the road, man.
Love being here.
Too
love
much fun.
The view.
Too much
love
fun.
Love the work that they're doing.
Absolutely. And the best part about the show is we're talking to some of the companies that Peoples is working with and how they're able to interface and bring innovation and new technologies when it comes to energy. And we've got Watt Fuel Cell here. We have Kane with us today.
Nice to meet you.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
So quickly, thanks for the invite.
Yeah, well, quickly, tell us about yourself real fast. Who is Kane Finnery?
Okay, so originally from the UK, not Australia.
Okay. I couldn't figure out which one. Or I think maybe New Zealand.
Well, you could go all three.
But UK, where in the UK are you from?
Originally from London.
Yeah.
But I think over the years, my accent's kind of like mellowed down.
It's mellowed
so
down.
So it's kind of got that mix of like American, English. Sounds slightly Australian because I'm struggling not to be too
Australian,
English.
Australian, you got to really influx at
yeah,
the end.
Well, exactly. That's it. You know, and I'm not throwing anything on the barbie or anything
right.
like that.
What brought you to Pittsburgh then?
So actually, purchased another technology company out in Pittsburgh in actually Mount Pleasant, which is about an hour, was it? East.
Going east from Pittsburgh. So, out towards the Laurel Highlands.
Yeah, you got it.
Exactly right.
So Pittsburgh happens to be the original home of a particular technology that we work in. So solid oxide fuel cells. Westinghouse, who was a small startup company in Pittsburgh.
Heard of those guys, I think. Yeah.
I mean, they're out there a few years back.
Small startup company.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So in my industry, whenever you opened up a textbook, anything about fuel cells, there's always a section on something called solid oxide fuel cells, which is just a type of fuel cell. And you turn to that page, and the first 15 pages is Westinghouse.
Interesting.
Right, so Pittsburgh is like it's like the home of the technology.
We're the home of it.
So what'd you do? Thumb through some papers and just, Pittsburgh?
No. So there was a company that was actually a spin-out from Westinghouse that makes tubular solid oxide fuel cells, but they make big stuff.
Yeah.
And the company was up for sale. And we were actually based out originally in Long Island in New York.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, there you go. Actually, we were in Port Washington, North Shore.
That's where I'm from, Manhasset.
Oh, small world.
Jeez, look
there
at
you
this.
Go.
See, Pittsburgh.
Our original investors from Manhasset, which is crazy. But anyway, we ended up getting a phone call from a friend of mine. Says, hey, you've got to come down and see this company. This is, you're in solid oxide stuff. I don't really know what that is, but you should come see it. So we came down and saw it. The guy who was in charge is Owen Taylor. Great guy. He's been in the industry for like 25 years. Original Westinghouse guy. Real passionate, loved the tech. Got me excited about what he was doing. And it kind of was a really good fit with our technology because we're doing solid oxide as well.
Yeah.
And, they're sort of, looking to close the company down, unfortunately.
And how long ago was this? Was this,
this was 3 years ago.
3 years ago. Wow. Okay.
And went in, saw him. We loved the tech. And we were like, right, okay, we'll make an offer. And one of the local guys from the town came in, the township, Jack Witowski. He's like the township supervisor comes in and says,
he's rolling in the town there, right?
And he says, oh, so who are you? I said, oh, I'm Kane. Oh, nice to meet you. He says, so you're going to buy the technology? I said, yeah. He says, how do you feel about keeping it here? I was like, well, we'd like to.
Like, how do you feel about us keeping it here?
He introduced us to the IDC over at Westmoreland, and they were absolutely phenomenal.
Huh.
And within, maybe 2 weeks, they put together...
You moved here?
Oh, yeah. So I came out for a two-day trip, went back, saw my staff, and I was like, so, how do you guys feel about Mount Pleasant? So, where is
what?
It? Well, as the name says, it's a very pleasant place.
It's a very pleasant place to be, yes.
And we ended up transitioning the company out to Mount Pleasant. The IDC was absolutely superb.
That's great.
40,000
cool.
square foot.
No, I know exactly where you are.
Yeah.
It's old Lennox Glass facility.
Okay.
So we transferred all our stuff over here, redid the plant. IDT helped us out with that, and it's been, you know, it's been a great
cool
story.
So you make these solid oxide fuel cells.
Yes.
What are these things, and how do they work?
And here's your customer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we've got a full hour. Yeah, 6 minutes.
We need the abridged version of how these things work.
Okay, so the way there's different types of fuel cells, right? There's a low temperature fuel cell that runs on hydrogen.
Okay.
And then there's a high temperature fuel cell, which is the thing that Westinghouse and stuff did.
Okay.
And that can run on hydrocarbon fuels. Right. So what's a hydrocarbon? Natural gas.
Right.
Propane.
Right. That's how you work with people's gas, which we'll get to in a second.
There
okay.
you go. Right. So the big
He's
difference
just sucking
there,
up to you.
That's all good.
Yeah. You never know, you might need a job, you know?
The big difference there is, though, the one runs on hydrogen, the other one can run on fuels you can buy.
Right. Right.
Hydrogen's great. It's clean.
Hard to buy, though, right?
But you can't buy it anywhere.
Yeah.
Right, it's not like you can go, I'm going to go and buy a can of hydrogen.
I need a six pack, please.
A six pack.
Exactly.
But if you've got a gas grill, right, you know where to get a 20-pound tank of propane.
I go to Mr. Flame and boom, you get your propane.
And natural gas, people's, it's in your home already, so it's already there.
Right.
So for us, that was big. So the way this works is that a fuel cell, you take fuel, you put it through the fuel cell. It's a solid-state device, and it enables you to basically take the electricity directly out of the fuel.
Whoa.
Without all the sort of mechanical stuff you have with a conventional engine.
So direct extraction.
Right, right. So it's a lot more efficient. Right. So almost think about it like a battery.
Right.
But rather than charging it up,
you feed it natural gas.
How does it replenish itself?
You just keep feeding it natural gas.
Just keep feeding it natural gas.
And it just keeps putting that electricity out. Now,
so you're taking natural gas and converting it to electricity.
Right, that's it.
That's cleanly and efficiently.
Right. So no NOx, no SOx. Right. You're a lot more efficient. So if you think about it in terms of generation,
right,
we're all got that sort of, you know, we're connected to the grid and you've got central generation. You can efficiently make electricity at that one point, but then you have to transfer it, right?
Exactly.
And that's where all the losses are. It's in the grid.
Exactly.
So what we're looking at is we have a little box, sort of yay big, you can be able to put in your home.
I was going to say, right.
So yay
right next to your furnace. You can put it right next to your furnace.
Or the radio.
It's like 3 foot by 2 foot.
It's like 2 foot by about 1.5 foot by about 1.5 foot. So yay big.
You can wedge it right next to your furnace in your hot water tank.
You got it.
Put a T in the line and plug it into your
people's gas, and it makes electricity for you.
Wow.
45 dBA at 3 feet.
What does that mean?
It means it's about as noisy as the laptop.
Really?
So it's really nice and quiet.
Wow.
Make sure electricity on site.
And as long as there's gas coming in, you're getting electricity.
And you've got no line losses because the grid is no longer part of the equation.
Wow. And you're decentralizing the grid a little bit because it's one less thing that's dependent upon a whole other system to feed it in.
Now, the big technology differentiator for us is that solid oxide fuel cells, it's just a flash way of saying it's ceramics.
Huh.
Right? Scientists always like to have an acronym for something, right? So all it really means is it's made of ceramics. Right? So if you're making cups, plates, bowls, they're all made out of ceramic, right? Ceramic manufacturing has not really changed much in the last 8,000 years.
Right.
If there's an archaeological dig, what do they always dig up?
Hit the pottery up.
It's pottery, right?
Exactly.
So it's all been manufactured the same way for that long. And that's the problem. It's always state of the art.
Right.
There's a lot of art involved in ceramics. So what that drives is cost. Right, because you can't automate it properly. The big claim to fame for us is that we figured out a way to use additive manufacturing or 3D printing to make the ceramic components of the fuel cell.
Audrey, this is why we do Tech Vibe Radio, to talk to guys like this. That's all I'm saying.
Wow.
Very cool.
So conventional process.
Yep. Conventional process could take hundreds of hours to make a single fuel cell. We can print a cell, start to finish
actually
in 3 minutes.
The fuel cells in 3 minutes.
Right.
So that's driving the cost down.
Right. You got it.
So everyone can. So everyone
goes up,
can,
quality goes
right.
up.
So it makes it much easier for everyone to put one of these in their homes.
There you go.
Oh my goodness, this is happening
that's
in Mount Pleasant.
Great. So what's on the horizon for you the next year?
Well, we're actually partnered up with People's Gas. Which we're very excited about.
Definitely.
You always get that little bit nervous when it's a big customer.
That's okay.
Wait a second. Now we can't screw this thing up.
Exactly. So we're doing a pilot program. So there's going to be 100, I believe it's 100 systems that they're doing this year.
Put one in my house. I'll sign up.
Well, as long as you're on People's Gas, I mean, I think they might take volunteers.
I am.
But they're going to do 100 units this year, and that'll be the beta pilot program. And as the beta pilot program comes through, then they plan to distribute these within their customer base.
Right.
And you too could have a yay big box in your basement.
Yeah. And I have plenty of room for it.
I'd build a little cozy for mine, stick it on top there to make it look nice.
Yeah, you can have it in any color that you want.
So exactly.
Designer colors.
What shocks you about this part of the woods, living in this part of the world?
What shocks me about living in this part of the world? Actually, no, there's a good answer to that. When I first came over to the U.S., I actually came over to Buffalo, and then, you know, I've sort of moved around the country. This is always seen as like the Rust Belt, right? So you've got Pittsburgh and Buffalo.
It used to be, right?
And if you look at the amount of sort of innovation and new technology in Pittsburgh compared to some of these other places in the U.S.
We're kicking butt, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear. Very cool.
So that surprised you.
It did. Because, you know, for me, you know, we were out in Long Island, we're in New York. You know, it's probably a sort of great place to be. But then you come up to Pittsburgh and you see the innovation and how quickly people are adapting to it and actually embracing it. That's huge.
It's awesome.
And that's going to be big.
So
and I think that's going to put us as a leader. Absolutely.
So you have a website that people want to know anything about?
Yes. It's whatfuelcell.com.
Just that simple. Easy.
That's it.
Keep
that's
it simple. Easy. So we're going to be keeping our eye on you.
Oh, we have to.
Making sure that you're
that's
changing
always dangerous.
The world.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. We know. We have a dangerous job.
And before we leave, I wanted to ask you, how many people are working at Watt?
What are we now? 24, 25?
Fantastic.
And we're going to be hiring.
I was going to say.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, let's know.
So we've got a real mixed bag. We've got PhDs, we've got mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, technicians.
Awesome.
Have you been down to their place, Rob?
I have not. I want to go and check it out.
Would you like an invite?
I would love to go to Mount Pleasant and check you guys out.
He wants an invite.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Because this is game-changing stuff right here.
Oh, you'll love it. Absolutely.
And we're so glad you stopped by.
You can come see it. You'll be in love once you've been
there. Thank you so much.
I know where to find you. I know where to find you. We'll make that happen.
That was Keane Finnerty.
Yeah.
That's it.
What? Fuel cell.
Absolutely.
Changing the world.
Good stuff. Audrey, I can't believe we have to wrap up our show.
I know.
I'm like,
crazy.
We've had the past 2 weeks we've been hanging out at the Energy Innovation Center with People's Gas. Go to people-gas.com.
Best for you. Talking about what's going to happen right under our feet and right before our eyes in the next 5 years.
I find it amazing, Audrey. And I've been thinking about the last 35 years the PTC's been in business.
You have been?
I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think about the next 35, or then just the next 5 years. I think of companies like Watt that are in the region, and I think about the Energy Innovation Center and all the guests we've interviewed. It's like, there's a lot going on here, there's so many stories to be told.
Don't let your head explode. We'll be back.
No explosions. That would be messy.
We'll be back.
But I just want to thank our hosts once again, People's Gas, people's-gas.com, for making this whole thing happen. And learn about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. This is Jonathan Christing.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Now go have an awesome weekend, everybody.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.